This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, and he is also the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, it's been a while since you've been on the show, so welcome back. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it, and look forward to our dialogue today.
Yeah, a Mythbusters dialogue, perhaps.
Mythbusters. Hey, I'm not, yeah, it's been
talk about buzzwords, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Right. So, you know, Bill, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about or get your thoughts on is, you know, there's everywhere you go now, everybody's still, you know, is talking about price and getting either best price or low price, especially in the GSA context. You know, customers and their view of price at GSA and low price technically acceptable. So, you know, I think I'll just an open-ended question to you. What to you is price? What, you know, in this context?
Well, price has become a buzzword. And I think what I mean by that is it's so recognizable when someone says that, yeah, we want to get the lowest price, we want to get the best price. But, you know, I think what's unfortunately, what's being lost, I think, is the recognition of cost. And, you know, cost, you know, for the most part, I don't feel is being measured. And then there's a, you know, because there just aren't measurements out there in government to really identify cost elements, and there's savings there. And cost ultimately affects, Roger, price. And I think right. Price becomes a, to the, you know, we're probably going to reuse this quite a bit today, but it's a buzzword because it's what you actually pay for something. There's an identification of a price to a service or to a product or to a solution. And so everybody looks at that number. But as far as the key element to that's cost.
Right. And that's so what I'm sort of hearing you say is there's a number. It costs, you know, this widget cost, you know, $10. That's what you paid. That's the price per se. But it's almost like there's an iceberg there, right? The price is what you see, but there's all these costs to get to actually paying for having that widget delivered and then using it, right? Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yeah, or? And there's elements to the price, cost elements that make up the ultimate price. And then you have to have another ingredient in there, which is the marketplace. And what are requirements? So there's other things that once if something's produced or provided or the means to provide, and then that ultimate deliverable price is gonna be reflected by, you know, what the customer's requirements are. You know, are you gonna buy one pack of M&Ms today, or are you gonna buy five packs of M&Ms today?
Or 500, right?
Or 500, buy a case of them. So, you know, you can definitely, but at the end of the day, you know, it's still the same M&M, so to speak. Maybe I'm hungry today, but it's not a commercial.
You're making me hungry, man.
Okay.
So, you know, but I want to talk a little bit too about that, you know, there's a transactional cost, and that comes in many different forms to me and I think to your point, how that's measured or whether it can be measured by the federal government is a major question. I mean, even I'm just thinking, for example, in strategic sourcing, GSA is charging an additional fee, you know, on top of the, you know, the price for purchases under strategic sourcing. You know, instead of the industrial funding fee, which is 0.75% on schedules, they're adding another 1.25%. So a total 2% when you use strategic sourcing. Now, that's obviously to defray some costs that GSA has. And
Keyword.
Right. Okay. That GSA has to put those into place. And those are costs to the entire federal government. So I'm just, you know, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's strategic sourcing is You're hearing a lot, that as much as price out in the marketplace, at least from a federal government standpoint. And I think if
FSSI is a buzz acronym, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's real, but I think I think that's more of an objective. So I think that's okay. But I think the key here is that the cost savings or the price that the government's paying for the items under strategic sourcing, you can find lower prices still in the market, even with all the cost. And here's the key: all with all the cost effort. If you roll up the total cost effort to do a procurement like that versus doing a BPA or something like that, a competitive BPA, I would stand tall on the fact that you could get equal to or better. The bottom line. And I think care is part of the other side of cost. We're talking price here, but the cost to the taxpayer. So part of the cost of getting a better price or best price or lower price is, there's that unseen cost in government, that contract duplication.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to use the word sunk in here, but I'll just say it. There's a sunk cost that the taxpayer ultimately is paying for. So you put that as, that's not even being identified here.
Right.
And so that's what the government's putting that cost element out and doing new contracts and so forth. And they already have contracts in place with the same industries, same mm-hmm. companies, and yet they go ahead and invest into to get lower pricing where they have the same tools in
right,
in the
and
toolbox.
They could do task orders under those pre-existing contracts and get the same result without going creating a new contract just to be able to then turn around and do the same task order competition you could have done on the pre-existing contract. And to your point about BPAs, I mean, I think the price or the cost or whatever you want to, that whole number, I guess, for lack of a better term, that agencies have to deal with, they do get better results when they have specific requirements. Isn't that the case?
Well, I think that procurement acquisition is acquisition. I mean, whether you're in federal government or commercial, your quantity and other provisions are going to affect the price, timeliness, how soon you want something or when you want it done by, how many coats of paint do you want on this? And you're really going to get into the requirement side or the more technical aspect of this. Because when you interface or put your requirement out into an industry, again, whether you're a government or your private sector, you have to define your requirements. If in many cases you can't adequately define it, you need the specialization of industry to come back and based on their experience, tell you, what their solution or what their recommendation would be. So there's not going to be, while we always try to get it apples, there's going to be a little fruit cocktail in here, and that's okay too.
Right. Well, now you're on this food M&M's, fruit cocktail, apples.
At least I'm healthier.
Yeah, right. Well, the M&M's, I don't know, unless they're peanut M&M's.
There you go.
So one thing I wanted to ask you too is, there's a lot of criticism right now or conversation or buzz words around price and GSA schedules. And the critics, particularly some of those that in DOD or DPAP, say the prices are too high. I mean, that's led to certain policy statements and things like that. I'd like to get your thoughts on the schedule price.
Yeah, a buzzword.
Right.
So, I mean, it is an attention getter in a room of people or in any a conversation. It always boils down to price in many cases. But I think what's not being conveyed here is the ability that the customer, in this case, the federal contracting officer, buyer, however you want it, project manager, they have the ability to get lower pricing within the GSA schedules program through competing in order under it. So, that is low cost on behalf of the government, lower cost on behalf of industry, and therefore the fact that industry now sees, because the GSA pricing is a ceiling price, and it's a fair and reasonable ceiling price. And I think,
but given the terms of the contract,
right,
absolutely.
Sure. So, within the parameters of the clauses, the terms and conditions of the solicitation, as you indicated, GSAs, then they're negotiating a ceiling price, which is a fair and reasonable. Whoever came up with the term fair and reasonable nailed it. I don't know when they did that, but the FAR has got that nailed. It's not best price. It's not lowest price, not low price. It's fair and reasonable. And that's with other things to be considered, not a standalone buy, because every buy is a little different.
Right, right. And what's a low price? I mean, it's the issue that, I scratch my head because their prices are too high. And, driving down prices at the contract level, I think, in the long run is counterproductive. What they ought to be focusing on is competition at the order level for specific requirements. I mean, that's where the pricing and the marketplace takes place. And because there's always a lower price, or there's always a fair and reasonable price depending on the particular deal that's struck. And, it's an argument they can never win.
Well, if you really look at, how does a convert, when you talk about lowest price or lower price, when you really get to low prices on a consistent basis, you're going to get to a liquidation sales.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So right there, it tells you something.
Yeah.
You can only go so far down, and then you're going to put someone out of business.
Right. And speaking of selling, Bill, we do have to take our first break. So when we come back, we'll be talking to Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion of pricing and what it all means. It's the new buzzword of the day. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's the chairman of the Gormley Group. He's also chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And hey, Bill, that first segment, we talked a lot about food. I don't know how that happened. I need some M&Ms. I'm having a craving. But you mentioned M&Ms and, and price variability and the price of that and that sort of thing. So I want to start out by giving an opportunity to tell me what you're really talking about there.
Well, you can talk about M&Ms. We can talk about M&Ms. Actually, it was at a recent commercial location, so I won't get into the stores here, so I won't be promoting. So, but I did look at a bag of M&Ms, and it was 77 cents. And I went to another store for a different reason. And then here I am at a checkout counter, and I'm like, it's M&M's again. It was $1. And then I walked across the parking lot, because it's kind of the way the stores are set up, to a office supply place. And it was $1.89. And so I'm like, here it is within one parking lot, the disparity here. And that's okay. I mean, if some people can't get around or have reasons why or they're hungry right then, they have to be fed. So it just makes me think about, you can chase the big price forever. And in this case,
or the low price,
or
right?
The low price, whatever that means, and because some people could say best price is the highest price. It depends on who the seller or the buyer. But regardless, it's like, I think we have to get back to what the federal acquisition regulations, really promote or stand for is fair and reasonable price, Roger. That we have to get away from just pricing, because the taxpayer is losing too much value by focusing only on price. And I think that's when we get into contract duplication. Right there, you might say, hey, Bill, but they're getting better pricing under other contracting methods. And I'm like, well, if you look at the total cost of what they put into that method, I mean, I think like you're, penny wise, pound foolish. At the end of the day, that's a cost to the taxpayer.
Right. Well, the other thing too on that is that, are they really getting a better price? Because the contract price is not a good measure in a multiple award, indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery world that we live in now. It's really what's the price paid for a specific requirement at the order level. And that's hard to compare because each requirement sort of stands on its own.
And it should.
Yeah.
You should not try and package requirements and say, hey, we're going to standardize on a certain, particularly in the services area, and, we hadn't even touched on, I don't know if you're going to or not, the socioeconomic side of all this and what are other responsibilities of government. The responsibility of government is just not to get whatever the best price is or get a lower price or lowest price. So there's other elements.
Right. Well, and to that matter too, there's requirements that government have that just can't drive you to the lowest price that you could get commercially. There's the Trade Agreements Act. You can't buy things from China, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's probably the biggest driver there is. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear any consideration of that when you're talking this low price issue or just all the various requirements that are put in contracts with regard to compliance and reporting and labor standards and all those things. They're there for a reason, and there have been policy decisions made on it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get the lowest price because there's other factors going into it, right?
Exactly. So I think what we're, you know, talking toward is really getting the acquisition, the senior acquisition community, the policy folks, for, I don't mean senior age wise, but the people who are in those leadership positions, to really maybe step back. May not be the right term to use here, Roger, but I think we should focus on the fair and reasonable aspect of this and how really to look at what contract vehicles that they have responsibility for, eliminate duplication, and look on ways to, to utilize the commercial market and the advancements the commercial market will make in its offering to its customer bases, and really strive to take advantage of that and put a cost element there, which will be far below what the current cost elements are. And that cost is being shielded away from what savings reflects.
Yeah. Well, I want to keep on this M&M theme for just a second. And that is, there's a recent example that was discussed publicly about, staplers. And, you could find theoretically on GSA schedules this one stapler that was $11 and then another stapler in the same NSN or whatever category that was $29. And, there's this, some reaction is, how can that be? And then secondly is, don't we need to do some due diligence when we place an order, which ultimately led to, DPAP, Defense Procurement Acquisition Policy, issuing a deviation, which I guess I understand now is named at those micro-purchase threshold orders, saying you got to do some sort of price analysis in accordance with, Part 15 of the FAR. So I just wondered, what's your thoughts on this, variability issue that they're identifying on the schedules?
First off, I'm happy to hear there's variability, because there actually could be variability in quality. That we don't know. We haven't brought that into this example, so I don't know if it's part number to part number or not. So there's that, which could be a major aspect here. Even if it's part number to part number, just for the sake of discussion here, I think it's very few times that someone acquire an off supply one at a time.
Right.
And here an example would be you're looking at a ceiling price, and that ceiling price has been determined fair and reasonable. There is not a penny have been spent on that prior to the award of the schedule contract, other than the cost of establishing the contract. And so I can probably with pretty high level of confidence, not even know who we're talking about, that the $29 contractor has several other items under their off supply contract. And I think if you do an aggregate of your requirements and put in a shopping basket and go to the other $11 one and buy the same things, and who knows what you're going to end up with. And that's what you're going to pay right there. If you just focus on the one item, you drive your ordering costs up significantly and the payment costs the government.
Right. Well, so, to your point, you can buy a hell of a lot of $29 staplers for $3,000, right below the micro purchase threshold at one time. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, in this area, and it's because it's a huge initiative, and you hear it every time you talk to, procurement folks at GSA or OMB, is, prices paid portal. We're collecting all this price data to try to assist contracting officers or whoever in making good buying decisions. And, I think there's been a recent acknowledgement that price alone is incomplete data, but what's your thoughts on the collection of all that information that actually the government already has in its possession? They're asking contractors to report.
Yeah, I think once the government is able to collect its own data that it generates on the buyer side, then they'll have a far greater opportunity to define requirements. But to go and reverse engineer this and have the third party, in this case industry, be responsible contractually in some cases and could be penalized for not providing it. I think and also there you're it's kind of creeping into the government contractor takes great pride in having information on its customer base. And so to start sharing any intelligence, market intelligence, is how it could be viewed. mixing your market intelligence with other contractors' market intelligence through data collection. And that could get a little dicey on the government's part. And I think the government should really be focusing, you know, on collecting its own data and then moving it that way instead of because you're going to increase costs on the other end.
Right. Speaking of cost, back on cost and price, right?
funny how this works.
Isn't it? It's circular, right? To try to get a lower price, they're going to increase costs.
Yes.
Very good.
The more you lower the price, the more you're going to increase costs from this perspective. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? We're already up on the next break, Bill. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, you know, we'll talk a little value and price next segment. And also we'll start mixing in a little bit, you know, discussion Bill's thoughts on innovation. That's also one of the big buzzwords of the day. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's president of the Gormley Group, chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, you know, Bill, when we took the break, I mentioned a couple things, and I know we've touched a little bit on value versus price, but I want to talk about that and how that, and, you know, sort of how innovation connects as well. You know, and first, I think you made the points early in the show about value and whether that's getting lost or not in the equation with all this focus on price. Do you have any other, you know, observations in that area that what you're seeing out there?
Well, I think the I'm going to look at it from a contracting officer's viewpoint interfacing with industry, and there clearly seems to be a top down pressure on the contracting officers to focus so much on price that I think you're starting to see where I wasn't going to say it's squeezing value out, but I'm going to turn it around. It's not allowing value to come into play.
Right.
And while the government gets a check mark for working towards a better price, it's kind of ironic here, Roger. It's when you look at when people compare prices for savings, they always go to the schedules program. So why don't it be nice to look at one contract comparison outside of the schedules program? So I can assure you that if you look at contracts that have been set up, even under strategic sourcing, Roger, you'll have multiple contractors. You're going to have multiple prices for the same products.
Yep.
I mean, how ironic is that, right? And so that, you know, that recognition, for some reason, is not discussed or recognized in from a comparison standpoint. So, and also government's not buying the lowest price under strategic sourcing for that one vendor when they have multiple vendors. So the government's still paying. So when you talk about, when you roll up, yeah, you're going to push my button on this. When you roll up the cost element, the sunk cost or the hidden, it's really a hidden cost.
Yeah.
Because it's not
measured.
It's not measured. Yeah. What it's taken to get the strategic sourcing contracts awarded. And to monitor, and you know, and you indicated that they put a fee on for that to offset it. So right there, you're looking at additional costs that are having to be recovered. They already have a much lower cost into a program that's been established for years and just continues, needs to be refreshed, for lack of a better way of saying it. We're not talking about, you know, it's saying, you know, if we were going to start anew today, how would we look? I mean, that would be that, you know, that's to me, that's like, you know, how would we want the city of Washington, D.C. to be laid out now? Well, now there's history to it. So there's a lot, you know, there's some analogy here. So
yeah, if you're going to wipe that out, you'd upset a lot of people and start over. Like, you know, where were they going to live? What happened to the streets? You know, there's some history there that you build off
exactly.
of. Right?
I think the government should be focusing on how can we improve, you know, what has been a core program prior to GSA, by the way. The schedules program is older than GSA. It started at Treasury. A lot of people don't even know that, and I'm not going to get historical here on you. But it has stayed around for quite a while, and if people are looking to do away with it, then I think they have not taken the time to study contracting and acquisition and the federal market and the various needs, to your earlier point, everybody's requirements are a little different, particularly when you get the services.
Right.
And that the tools are there on that program, the multi-billion dollar program, to get what the government needs when they want it. And yep. I think that's a credit to GSA for all these years of improving it.
Right. So we got the strategic sourcing piece in, everybody. So you can check that box off. I also wanted to get your thoughts, because there's a lot of, this other buzzword that's out there right now is innovation. And whether it's, on the Hill, they're trying to do Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act to streamline acquisition and make potential, make it have better outcomes, sort of in the wake also of healthcare.gov. Decided 18F, which is this new organization at GSA, which is all about innovation and delivering to customer agencies quickly, efficiently, effectively, and in an innovative way, more mirroring commercial practice. So innovation is this, you hear it coming out of OMB, even the Coalition for Government Procurement, we did a paper on, innovation schedule, which is really about reducing regulations, frankly, so people could actually really compete and offer their latest technologies. So this is, the newest buzzword of 2014, innovation, at least in the procurement, federal procurement context. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, to no surprise, procurement is not sexy.
Right.
Okay. And so, so when you
speak for yourself there, Bill.
Yeah, right, that's right. Yeah, I'll do that. So, it's a little geeky, even in the private sector. When someone sees something made from a technology standpoint, and the new gadget and so forth, that's great. But behind that, to get it to that presentation, there's a lot of contracting in there and a lot of definition of requirements and value, things we've talked about. So I think when, innovation, I don't know, maybe it's springtime, we're buzzing around here with bees or something, but it's another buzzword. I mean, innovation, and it's a good identifier. It's something that everybody wants to innovate. And I think innovation does not mean taking something and making something, better than a drone now. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's better than a drone? That's innovation. That's the government, for the most part, that's not the role it plays here in that we're talking about. And I think they should find how to make government more efficient, easier to do business with. That goes a long ways to reducing the cost to the taxpayer, Roger.
Right.
And that's not sexy innovation. It's not, okay, we have a new icon or a new acronym in government on a new program. And so I think that, the roll the sleeves up and let the contracting officers, you want to talk about innovation? I mean, when we got to the point of Mythbusters as something new, and it's that actually talking to people, that was kind of, it shows you where, how far apart the parties have gotten who need to be together. Mm-hmm. And parties meaning not political, the buyer, the seller, and industry type thing. And so I think that needs to come back to everybody should be welcome to the table, and you manage that, obviously. That's where the innovation comes from.
Right.
It can be quiet innovation, but I think a lot of people want to get the headline and of what they're doing, and this is their objectives, and that's fine. But I think to go and just say we don't need something anymore, that I think serves a very broad spectrum of government, like the Schedules program or some of these GWACs that they have, but there's too much duplication out there now. And yeah. I think innovation has driven the term, buzzword innovation drove to more GWAC. And I think, OMB, in fairness to GSA, OMB leans a lot on GSA. And I think it would be very prudent for OMB to start looking at how many approvals do they give that are promoting contract duplication.
Right. That would
be innovation.
Yeah. That would be a change, wouldn't it?
Right.
Well, one aspect that seems to me that when I think about it, it's the private sector brings innovation, and the government needs to make it easier to do business with the private, with the private sector, so that the private sector can actually bring that innovation to the table.
Yeah. And I think in that regard,
And Bill, you know what? We do have to take, you hold that thought right there.
I'm going to run get some M&Ms.
Yes. Okay. So when we take that break, we're going to go make a food run, and we'll be back in a moment. And we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley. He's the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement and the president of the Gormley Group. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And, you know, Bill, when we took the break, you were about to say something about innovation. I had made a reference to, you know, industry brings innovation to the marketplace. And, you know, one of the things the government could do is really make it easier to do business with it so that companies could bring their innovations to the federal marketplace.
Yeah, I think this is a great, you know, I think a relevant example would be, you know, the government, you know, who the folks responsible for policy. I'm not talking about regulations now, because that's a heavier subject when you have to regulate and go through the regulatory process. So my policy you can normally change internally. You were involved in that for years, and you flush it out, and you bring up innovation. So it makes you think about, you know, we talked earlier about contracting officers kind of being squeezed to focus on one element of the contracting and not the value side as much. So here, you mentioned, hey, Bill, we're talking a lot about innovation out there, you know. So it makes me kind of, unfortunately, chuckle, because I'm going to give you an example where GSA has the policy authority for the schedules program, and they established a policy a few years ago that anybody that makes an offer to GSA under the program has to be in business for at least 2 years. So right there, I mean, you're stymieing someone that's innovative to come in.
Right.
And I would say under an open market procurement, you would allow someone that can meet your requirements to come in at any, regardless of how long they've been in business, as long as they have the resources, right?
Right.
And so here, as we indicated earlier, this is not sexy, but it's something that GSA in the stroke of a key or a pen, however you want to categorize it, electronic signature, can change a policy that would take the lid off. And really think about, they have, it was at 18F.
Yes.
Who's out there for innovation? For technology, for good reason. But here, other parts of the agency prohibit innovation unless it's more than 24 months old.
Right.
And so these are ways to simplify, lower cost, and get from the market into the government access a lot earlier.
Right. Well, you know, there's another area when you mentioned that, I thought of it. You know, another area where the schedules limit innovation in a certain sense, and that's the price reduction clause and the management of it. And you can talk to many companies, and they will not put their newest technologies on GSA schedules because of the onerous requirements with regard to commercial transactions and disclosure and then monitoring price reduction for their newest technologies. They're just putting out there, and it's establishing a market price over time, right? Based on what's going on there, their competition, that sort of thing, and trying to track that. So they won't take the risk of violating their contract and a pricing provision.
No, they're honoring, I mean, I would say in fairness, industry takes serious GSA's requirements on a price reduction clause.
Right. So it's a catch 22, because what happens is, you know, they're not putting it on the contracts because of the compliance issues. So the government's not getting access to newer technologies. But the flip side is if they did put it on, for example, then they have to think about how they compete in the private market. Exactly. Because they can't, you know, because if they do put it on, then we've got to think about whether or not they're going to violate the clause based on some commercial transaction. So the GSA's got a policy that either limits the ability to get new technology or limits a company's ability to compete in the private sector. That's just not sound procurement policy or economic policy for that matter.
Yeah, I think I want to be in fairness to the listeners here, Roger, because you could actually do a series on price reduction. I'm not advocating it, but you could. But I don't know if anybody's really have driven home waiting in the driveway before you get done with this interview, before they go in their house. Okay. So this is real. This is, yeah. this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, but this is real. This has a major impact as a cost driver.
Right. When you talked about price versus cost.
Exactly.
Yep.
For companies that want to do business with the government, and the government should want them to do business with the government. So, you know, I think GSA, it needs to look at, and I'm trying to think of a way to describe it in a global way here, because it cuts across multiple industries. But I think GSA should create a new, you know, GSA schedule invitation and say, these are the things that that being a member of the GSA Schedules program affords you as a company in selling into government. But there should be an invitation. And I think now people are looking at it that there's a pushback, and GSA was set. GSA basically is established to host contract vehicles. They're not the buyer. And so that's a key factor here. They're a contracting organization and a very, you know, valuable aspect of government, but they're not the buyer here.
Right. And that's a great point, because GSA is not, I mean, GSA just doesn't hold government-wide requirements. They don't hold DHS's requirements. You know, DHS doesn't even. It's like, you know, you go to Customs and Border Patrol. They have their individual unique requirements that they know, and they can compete. GSA will never be the buyer for all those things, because it's fundamentally not the way our government is organized. You'd have to basically pass a bunch of laws to recreate the government structure to do what, you know, to do that.
Well, it's like we're talking about starting all over again. Think about that. You'd have to start over and redesign government in order to become America's buyer.
Right.
And so I think you have to look at, instead of trying to boil the ocean, right, I think you really need to look at, see what are the components here. And there are some major value adds that GSA can bring under existing programs with, you know, we always talk about low hanging fruit. That's kind of a throwaway, but you know, some of this stuff's going to get spoiled over time. It's got to. It's going to drop. I mean, it's going to go through, and it's just going to cost the government more money. There's going to be fewer players, competitive players in the ring. And I think competition is the driver of the total value package that gets you a fair and reasonable price when you want it.
Value.
Where you want it. The value. It's the whole definition of what is a good acquisition.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and one last thing, and we're getting close on the time, Bill, but I know you were a follower of the National Dialogue or the Open Dialogue, and that's, for our listeners not aware, that is that OMB, the administration, put out a public notice, a Federal Register notice, asking for comments and a dialogue, and had a website set up where people could submit suggestions about how to improve the procurement process, and I know you followed that, so I wanted to get any thoughts you had on that.
I voted. So I feel like I can talk about it.
Right. And, you participated. Right.
Participated.
In the cloud sourcing.
Yeah,
right.
There's three categories. And I'm not playing off this. I mean, sincerely, the coalition did a great job with its membership in soliciting the areas to be submitted, the categories to be submitted by the coalition. And your staff should be congratulated on you. You got the top vote getters in every category. And so now it's going to be interesting to see, as we understand it, that they're actually going to take action against what the top vote getters are. So this is transparent.
Right.
Everybody saw what the count is. So it'll be interesting that the government has set up an opportunity, and now and people have voted, and it was all open, everybody. So I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. I guess is, you know, fun to see type thing. So I don't know if it's going to go 15 innings or not, like it did the other night with the Nationals. But hopefully, a lot of things that were recommended, OMB, GSA, and whomever else is supposed to be involved in that, moves this forward, because there is a lot of low hanging fruit that was
will provide value and reduce costs for the taxpayer, for customer agencies. Absolutely, Bill. I want to thank my guest today, Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.